Messiah in the Tanakh, Section 7. We begin with Psalm 22, verse 16. In the New Revised Standard Version, a company of evildoers encircles me, they have pierced my hands and feet. And in the New Jewish Publication Society Version, a pack of evil ones closes in on me, like lions they maul my hands and feet. Replacing pierced with they maul, a footnote reads, with Rashi, comparing Isaiah 38, verse 13. Who was Rashi? A look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Revised Standard Version. In the New Jewish Publication Society Version, look, the young woman is with child and about to give birth to a son. Apart from the difference between virgin and young woman, we ask, when were these two predictions fulfilled? And then, who was Rashi? Rabbi Shlomo Yitzhak, in French, Salomon ben Isaac de Troyes, lived between AD 1040 and 1105. He wrote commentaries on the entire Tanakh in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Old French. He also wrote commentaries on most of the Babylonian Talmud. In fact, all printed Talmuds to this day include his commentaries. Related to this is the concept of sensus plenior, a Latin phrase for fuller meaning. When interpreting apparent messianic texts in the Tanakh, a question remains: is the fulfillment still future, or is it historical? Has it already happened? Or was there a dual fulfillment, first in ancient history, and then again in the far future? Or is it typical? Something in the Tanakh is similar to something found elsewhere. These are called the type and the antitype. The rabbis employ a midrashic method, that is, simply making arbitrary assertions about what one believes to be true. Now, certainly, medieval and later rabbis have appealed to sensus plenior. This is especially asserted by rationalists and anti-supernaturalists who believe in neither. Yet, certain Catholics and Protestants have suggested sensus plenior in an attempt to interpret messianic texts. Well, why do they do this? Is there a historical explanation? Well, we must look at classical rabbinical methods of interpretation, some of which can be found in the Babylonian Talmud. Rabbis had four different means of interpretation, and there is a Hebrew word for each. One of these is called peshat, which means simple. This is when you seek the plain meaning. Secondly, there is remeth, which means hint, when one text seems to allude to another. Derash means search. This often leads to seeking political relevance and application. And fourthly, sod, which means secret, when you apply a mystical interpretation to a text. Now, in the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Shabbat 63a, Rabbi Rashi comments, quote, a verse cannot depart from its plain meaning, its pashat, end of quote. Rashi lived in 11th century France at the time of the First Crusade. Until then, Jews and Catholics enjoyed cordial social and economic relations, that is, until the First French Crusade in 1096. At that time, Jewish-Christian debates intensified, both sides writing religious tractates against the other. Complicated by stupid crusaders who destroyed Muslims, Jews, and Eastern Christians alike. This led to Jewish communities under great distress. Regarding Jewish-Christian debates, the question was this: was Jesus the awaited Messiah? Christians said yes, appealing to allegory, that is, making up their own interpretations, whereas Rashi appealed to the biblical text itself. What does the Tanakh say? So, when dealing with Christians, Rashi equated the plain meaning, the Peshat, with historical fulfillment which was supposed to have taken place before the time of Jesus. However, when dealing with persecuted Jews, he taught that messianic texts applied to the future hope of the Jewish people. Passages in the Tanakh, which Christians related to Jesus' first coming, Rashi interpreted as fulfilled before Jesus' lifetime. Rashi sometimes combined Parshat with Darash, thus the child born to Ahaz, young woman, became his crown prince, a historical fulfillment with political implications. And other passages he relates to a yet unfulfilled future for national Israel. At Isaiah 11:1, the Tanakh reads, "And a shoot shall spring forth from the stem of Jesse, a twig from his roots." Rashi commented on this, quote, "If you say, the glory has ceased and the dominion has departed from the house of David, well, know this, that it is not so. Rather, a shoot shall spring forth from the stem of Jesse," that is, in the far future. Since the time of Rashi, Jewish commentators reject Midrash for Peshat, interpreted to be fulfilled historically by Israel or by David, otherwise by Israel's future glory. This highly influenced Catholic commentators who parrot Rashi, although some depart from him on messianic texts. The Protestant reformers had to learn Hebrew from the rabbis who also taught them Rashi's interpretations. This contributed to Christianity's doctrine of Hebraica Veritas, accepting the Hebrew Bible as the Word of God. Thus, polemical Jewish exegesis or interpretation led Christians to their anti-messianic historical interpretations of messianic texts, such that the literal sense equates to the historical sense. Let's see how this works. First, this leads to a quandary. If the Tanakh was fulfilled historically, then how does it predict Messiah? One reformer, Petrus Canius, a Dutchman in the 17th century, appealed to a messianic Kabbalah, meaning historical tradition, passed down alongside the Tanakh, separately from the oral law. That is, just as Jews believe the Talmud is an oral law given by the Lord to Moses, alongside the Torah, the written law, so there was an oral messianic interpretation also passed down by rabbis, even if none has ever been found. Well, let's consider a moment the place of religious authority. We shall look at six religions: Judaism, Islam, Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, and Evangelical. Each of these has a scripture. Judaism has the Tanakh, Islam the Quran, Catholicism the Bible, including the Apocrypha, Orthodox, the same Bible plus pseudepigrapha, for example, the Book of Enoch. Protestants limit themselves to a 66-book Bible, as do evangelicals. However, each of these also follows its tradition. Judaism has the Talmud, Islam the Hadith, Catholicism teaches and believes papal edict, Greek Orthodox follow Ignatius, Protestants interpret their Bible according to their own systematic theology, whether Calvinist, Arminian, or Lutheran. Evangelicals, however, for the last 100 years, have interpreted their Bible according to the notes in the Scofield Reference Bible. Let's see how this works. In Genesis 3:15, New Jewish Publication Society reads, "They shall strike at your head, and you shall strike at their heel." Compared with the New Revised Standard Version, "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Since the word for posterity is a singular, collective noun, you may translate the pronouns as either singular or plural. So both are correct. One midrash meaning given by rabbis asserts that, quote, "This is the King Messiah," unquote, the one who crushes the devil. And in the 20th century, David Kimchi wrote, "Messiah, the son of David, shall wound Satan," unquote. Further along in history, Rashi commented, "You will bite him on the heel, and you will kill him," thus providing not only a plain meaning, but a naturalistic one, a human being and a literal snake. Even Calvin commented, quote, "There should always be the hostile strife between the human race and serpents," unquote. Similarly, naturalist. And much more recently, Walton, in the NIV application commentary, wrote, "A continual unresolved conflict. It is haphazard to adopt a messianic interpretation." Again, remaining naturalist. Another example from Psalm 2, verse 8. The NJPS reads, "Ask it of me, and I will make the nations your domain, your estate the limits of the earth." A midrash comments, quote, "God, speaking to the Messiah, says, 'The nations already are thine inheritance,' not something yet to be awaited." Thus Rashi asserted, "It is proper to interpret it as referring to David himself," unquote, not a future Messiah. Again, in the NIV application commentary, Gerald Wilson wrote, "A psalm regarding the powers and blessings of the human David kings," unquote. By this he identifies Psalm 2 as part of the, quote, "liturgy at the enthronement of the Davidic king in pre-exilic times," unquote. That is, long before the time of Jesus. Then let's look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. In Hebrew, verse 5, the Jewish Publication Society, quote, "A child has been born to us, a peaceable ruler." One midrash says, quote, "I have yet to raise up the Messiah, of whom it is written," end of quote, thus eliminating Jesus. And then Rashi, quote, "The Holy One, blessed is he, called Hezekiah's name the Prince of Peace," unquote. That is, not Jesus, but Hezekiah. Does this help explain the comments of some evangelical Christians? In a 1992 article, P.D. Wegner identified the child as having one long theophoric name. That is, the child born in Isaiah's time was named, "A wonderful planner is the mighty God, the Father of eternity is a Prince of Peace." A rather long name. In the New International Biblical Commentary, John Goldengay wrote, "The verses do not function as messianic predictions in this context," end of quote. Then Isaiah 42, verse 1, Jewish Publication Society, "This is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall teach the true way to the nations." Jesus applied this to himself. But later, in a midrash, Jonathan, it is written, quote, "Behold my servant, the Messiah, whom I bring, my chosen one, in whom one delights. And in another midrash, all these godly promises are in the decree of the King of Kings, who will fulfill them for the Lord Messiah, that is, sometime after Jesus. So, in commenting on Isaiah 34, Rashi then wrote, quote, Isaiah is called my chosen one, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen one, unquote, making not a man but the nation of Israel to be the Lord's servant, his chosen one, is followed by the evangelicals Golden Gay and J.D.W. Watts. Well, we conclude this session with a few observations. First, in Jewish Christian debates, medieval Christians appealed to allegory, whilst medieval Jews invented midrash. Rashi then corrected both by insisting on peshat, the plain meaning of texts. However, Rashi applied the plain meaning to history or to the end times, eliminating Jesus. Today, some self-loathing evangelicals do the same. For previous sessions videos, we invite you to visit our website at http://tanach.site.